It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, time where we get together with Cynthia Hostwinder and Janet Manco, and they're both on the line with us this morning. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cub reporter Janet.
Good morning.
She is so past Cub.
So you got to the fire and back.
Yes, yes. This is on Lime Rock Road, yep. And it's at 475 Lime Rock Road. So, yeah, Route 112 is closed. The house is still in flames.
Yeah.
And they certainly have done everything they could to bring him down, and they're continuing to do that. But more towns are still sending help. So I did speak to a person at the scene who lived next door who said that everyone had gotten out okay. So that is good.
And, of course, there's just a billion social pictures on social media now.
Yeah.
And it looked like a very intense fire
yes.
in the middle of the house. Well, it's good. I'm glad that you made it back to be part of this hue today. All right. We're going to start off with a basketball story first by Hunter Lyle, and that is the wizardry that goes on at South Kent School.
That's right. We've known for many years that South Kent has an exceptional basketball team, and we have, you know, all of our schools, private and public, do have a lot of attention to sports, but South Kent in particular has always put a lot of attention to basketball, and they have this super experienced, very interesting coach named Raphael Chilius, who has come back to South Kent after a fairly big career out in the real world of college basketball. So Hunter Lyle, who is our young reporter who loves to write about sports, did a great interview with him, got that great photo of him, and interesting to learn about things that are happening tucked away down there in the woods in South Kent.
What a program they have year after year after year. It's kind of like Salisbury School has in hockey, and Hotchkiss has it in football, the private schools. They're just built a good program-wise. All right. Talk a little bit about the story, legislature eyes enforcement on hospitals, and we'll go from hospitals to trees.
The larger picture in our state right now is that it seems like maternity wards all over the state are being closed down. And the hospitals, and I would say that our general sense is that Nuvance is treating Sharon this way, almost feel like they don't even need permission to do it. And so there's been a lot of concern among the public that Nuvance has been sort of saying, well, we're closing down the maternity ward at Sharon without having had approval from the state. And so our legislators, Maria Horn, our state rep, especially, is and Craig Miner, are looking into OHS oversight of these hospital groups. And part of the concern is that they all get a fine for ignoring the regulations and for not following procedure, but that for many of the hospitals, their feeling is like, we'll just take the fine. It's cheaper than having that thing open. And you know, Janet will talk about this. We've had some interesting letters from Nuvance, and it does seem like there is a schism in the way that the community sees what is essential to them at Sharon Hospital and what Nuvance sees there. And the question will be, can the Office of Health Strategy really ride herd on these hospital ownership groups and try to maintain what I think most people in the community would agree is most important, which is maternity and ER and possibly oncology.
You know, I had a nice 20-minute interview with Victor Jermak, and Victor has been involved in the fiduciary side of the Sharon Hospital since 20 years ago when Essent Healthcare took over. He pointed out some pretty amazing things that when this all started 20 years ago, there were, like, I guess 25 or 30 hospitals that had maternity care in Connecticut, small hospitals. Now it's down to just two.
Yeah, I think three close this year.
Yeah. So this is, Janet, this is going to be a very interesting thing to follow once actually the public can go to these hearings and listen to and watch these hearings.
Right. And let's hope they have an effect. And, you know, is it possible that we'll get down to no maternity units in any rural hospital in Connecticut? And, you know, what's the goal here?
Is anybody offering an alternative?
Drive. You know, you go into labor, you just drive.
Drive.
Who does that?
A good way to get to where you're going to have your child.
Yeah. I'm sorry, just my opinion, but who does that? That's ridiculous.
Well, everybody around us is doing it.
No, I understand, but that's a solution. What I'm trying to say is that's a solution.
That's the proposed solution, and then we'll see what happens. You never can tell. I mean, the community was able to save Sharon Hospital once when it went from nonprofit to profit, and now it's back to nonprofit. So if the community gets involved, this is a very strong, active community.
And as I think Victor and many of the people who are looking at the finances are saying, first of all, a lot of the doctors are saying everybody was so worried about Essent taking over as a for-profit, but actually that Essent invested more back into the hospital and then sadly, of course, passed it along to other owners who have sort of been chipping away at it. But there seems to be a sense among, you know, people who are looking at the financials that maybe it's time to take it back into community hands.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a big story. And, of course, the tree bill emerges once again because of strong participation by people in the northwest corner of Connecticut.
Yeah, there was this cutting of a lot of trees down at the intersection of Route 4 and Route 7, and a lot of people who, for various reasons, became very involved in that conversation with the state. Which the state has its own agenda for what it is doing in terms of tree care, and I would say that they're trying to do their best to care for the forest and to care also for campers. There's a very popular camp spot down there. But a lot of people came up and said, you know, you can't just come in and take down these trees. You have to discuss it with us first, and we'll see how that goes. But Maria Hornigan and Craig Miner are working hard to make sure that the public has more say in the taking down of trees on state-owned land.
All right, you've got a story by Deb Alexandis on the wild and scenic status.
This is part two of two very in-depth stories from Deb, and they're about really the Housatonic River and the Housatonic River Commission, and people who live here now, I think, maybe take it for granted that the Housatonic is a very clean, very healthy river, and that you can fish in it and you can swim in it, although it's dangerous and we don't recommend it, but that the people who have been watchdogging this river for many, many years are starting to age out and are looking for someone to step in and make sure that the same level of oversight continues on this river. And especially as the usage increases, especially during COVID, with people coming from out of town and not really necessarily cleaning up after themselves or being as respectful of the river and the dangers of the river as they should be. So they're working very hard to try and get wild and scenic status, which is a federal designation. And last week, Deb wrote about the Housatonic. This week, she's writing about the nearby Farmington River, which is considered a really outstanding river and has benefited from wild and scenic status.
Okay, before we go to rodent control, I want to go to the Planning and Zoning Commission in Salisbury. They approved new garages and a kitchen at Lime Rock Park.
Right, and it seems like, gosh, why is a planning and zoning story on the front page? But this is a very important regional story. It's the new triad of ownership at Lime Rock Park. They're doing their best to try and quell some of the anxiety that people have about the track and about its future uses. And one thing that people know who live near the track is on a track day, there's a lot of movement in and out of the park as people are bringing their trailers in with their cars. And so what they're and also people who are car people know it's very hard to find winter storage for your race cars. So what they're trying to do is build a new parking area, and that some of the people who race there on a regular basis will then be able to rent space in these garages. And instead of having to trailer their cars in and out constantly, they can just show up in their single car. And they're also talking about moving the kitchen into a more central location so that it used to be that if they would cook something in the Lime Rock kitchen, they would actually have to leave the park, drive around it, and then enter through the separate exit. So they're trying to figure out a new way to do that so that it all can stay contained within the park and, again, have less traffic out in the community.
All right. Now we can go to Patrick Sullivan's story about the best for rodent control.
Yeah, owls we love around here. I have an owl that lives outside my house. It's just magical to hear it hooting. We have a lot of really interesting Zoom talks that are going on at this moment. There seem to be a lot of them on nature. And Ginny Apple, through the David M. Hunt Library in Falls Village, did something on barn owls. And if you've ever lived in a very rural setting, as many of us do here, you know that no matter how tightly your house seems to be shut up, at certain times of year, you do get a lot of mice in your house. So if your cat's not doing the job, think about an owl.
Oh, I love the picture from Ann Brown, the bears in a row, because that's not too far from where, when I was driving into work one morning, there was just a whole clash of bears sitting in the middle of Route 41 in front of Hotchkiss School, munching on bags. They each had a bag of garbage right in the middle of the road.
Yeah, and, you know, I was driving by the the new gas station in Falls Village this morning, and saw just a ton of garbage strewn through the woods, and it didn't say to me, oh, somebody threw that out of their car. It said to me, oh, the bears are back, because what they'll often do is they'll come and they'll grab your garbage. And certainly there's been a lot of effort in recent years to get these bear-proof garbage cans, but it is that time of year again. The bears are definitely out. If you had a bird feeder out through the winter, this is the time to take it in, and this is also a time to keep your garbage tied up neatly in your garage, keep all the doors closed, and don't be a good host or hostess. You don't want to attract them to your house.
All right. An interesting story in, on page A3 and the history of this building in Sharon. Nora's nursery in Sharon, and now it's once again going to be a new garden center and nursery, and also a bakery.
That's right. And thank you for appreciating, because for years, I actually don't even think Nora's was open in the time since I've lived here, and I've lived here quite a while now.
Nora's has been closed for many, many years. My mother used to go there.
Apparently everybody did from Sharon and Cornwall. It was the place to go. It was like Paley's, which is, you know, such a center of people from Sharon and Salisbury. Apparently Nora's was the place where, like, your mom would go and everybody would catch up on their gossip and they would get their plants and there was some local produce. And so I was able to talk to Nora, who actually is running the Ripley Bird Conservatory over in Bantam, which is a really interesting place. And she was lovely and gave me the history of the property. And Megan Mollica, who is sort of a landscape, a gardener person around here, just felt like, you know, she's getting older and she didn't want to have her entire future be dependent on being out and, you know, doing some of that very, very hard labor that we know that garden people do. So she took over the property. Her husband's a carpenter. It's taken longer to rebuild the property, as everybody knows around here. It's been very hard to get building materials. They're planning to open on the weekend of the 31st very quietly. But also Susan Sicardi, the very beloved baker from Cornwall, who has really become a cult favorite, had been selling at the Cornwall Farmers Market in the center of town and also at the beautiful little shop called The Local, and had been selling from a roadside stand that would sell out every morning. So she now has a beautiful commercial kitchen that she and her son Dean have built in the building, and so they will have Susie's, no longer Susie's Sweets, but it'll be Susie's Bakery. They'll be doing bread as well as some of the pastries and things that they've been doing. So a lot to look forward to there, and everybody give them your support.
And you get some nice color pictures on A4 of, once again, Housatonic Musical Theater Society and the Pinewood Derby back after a COVID two-year hiatus.
I love the Pinewood Derby, personally, one of my favorite events. It used to be that they had multiples in all of the different little towns. North Canaan really has been the town that stuck with it. I think Kent used to have one. I haven't heard if they've had one this year. But they used to always be held at North Canaan Elementary School. This year they held it at Housatonic. Patrick went over, got some amazing photos. Those cars are just beautiful. And, of course, it's not just the Cub Scouts. It's also their siblings and its local businesses. And then the Housatonic Musical Theater was back. As Janet noted, they were able to perform 2 years ago. They did Sound of Music just as everything was closing down for COVID. It wasn't clear that they'd be able to perform it, but they did. And this year they're back with Into the Woods, which I've never seen, but I understand is one of the most popular musicals of the late 20th century.
All right. And on the obituary page, somebody that I think just about everybody in our region knows passed away, and that was Dave Simons after a heroic battle with cancer. And no services, but people can make donations to the VFW and the Couch Pipe of VFW.
And, of course, this is the beloved Dave from Dave's Tire and Auto in North Canaan. Just a super respected guy, a Vietnam vet. I know that the Couch Pipa did a ceremony honoring him a few months ago when they knew that, you know, his illness had really taken a turn. So will be a very missed person here in the region.
Absolutely. We're going to go to the editorial page right now for a second, or actually many seconds. And the editorial headlines with the uplifting theater weekend at Housatonic, Janet.
That's right. Sometimes we just have to note some things in our communities that pull us all together. You know, this is what community building is all about and what's been so hard to do during COVID. So what a landmark for the students at HUSI who take part in the theater program. They put on the very challenging musical Into the Woods. You know, it's Stephen Sondheim music and lyrics, and boy, those songs aren't easy to sing, but they just mastered it and were so impressive, so mature, just a beautiful production. And we had to congratulate them. A lot of hard work, 4 performances, not easy to do 2 performances in one day. You know, that's like Broadway, right? So, really, kudos to them. Thanks to them for doing it and pulling so many people together. The audiences are made up of every age range, from little kids with their families to us older folk and, grandparents, et cetera, who just come to take part in the joy. So thanks to them.
There's 3 letters that are all very interesting. The letter on the Region 1 budget, which, there's nothing really anybody can do about the way the budget breaks down unless you can convince a majority of the state legislators to change a state regulation. A letter in support of Sharon Hospital and a collusion and fake news. I mean, these are all very lengthy, interesting letters.
They really are, and it really is. This is our goal, is to get rebuttals to things we have in the paper, and we have that from Mark Godburn, and he talks about the opposite of what Dick Ollis presented in his his column last week, Extremist Fringes Damaging Both Parties. He gives the opposing view to that and certainly makes this case. And Steve Alquesta, it really is an interesting letter, and anybody who just looks at the surface of what's happening in Region 1 and says, boy, you know, North Canaan just got such a hike. Why is that? Well, everybody pays the same, doesn't tell the full story, and Steve goes into more depth for us, and certainly anybody who thinks about it a little carefully, see what his answer is and see if you agree, and rate us and let us know your thoughts.
And the columns, of course, Russia Bullying a Neighbor, the unique stories of area post office art, and then, of course, we've got the cartoon from Peter Steiner.
That's right. I thought Steiner's cartoon this week was extremely appropriate. And, Dick Ollis talks about his role is often to bring us history, and he regularly does that with Connecticut history. This time he gets into international world history and talks about when he was a kid and Russia got into a war with the Finland. So give that a read. It's fascinating. Helen Klein Ross, Hidden Histories, is telling us about the murals in the post offices, including Lakeville's, which I'm sure people notice it when they walk in, but may or may not think twice about it. It's unique. It's extraordinary. Helen tells us the history of it, and it's fascinating.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. When I moved to Kingston, New York, there was a grand post office, huge, round, had murals. It was just they tore it down and put a jack-in-the-box in, and they had built a new modern post office. So we should appreciate things like that, the mural and the post office, because they don't build things like that anymore. They don't do things like that anymore.
No, right. It goes to Jack in the Box instead. And don't miss turning back the pages. Yeah. Norma Bosworth has some really fascinating items. And
she's got something in there that I forgot completely about. She's got, when I was at Q103 25 years ago, I convinced Kevin at the Interlaken Inn to fund a Doppler radar setup at our radio station.
Uh-huh. You forgot, huh? Well,
I forgot about
that.
And we did it and we actually got it online right before a big storm. And it was funny because I had forgotten all about that until I saw it here in Turning Back the Pages.
I love that. I love that. We can remind you of that because that's major. That was a major thing 25 years ago to be able to do that. So
I remember saying to the station owner, I want to do this. He said, well, if you can get somebody to pay for it, you can do it. And the Interlaken stepped forward.
There you go. And, it's a great service to the area. So.
That's people shouldn't miss that feature. It does bring you back. Even if you've lived here your whole life, you remember things from the past. And if you've never lived here, it's a great way to see the history of our area.
It's true.
All right, let's go to Compass because there's a lot in Compass.
Jeff Brown, who's a local historian and is such an interesting guy, has a new book, and it's about Trinity Church, here right across actually from where this horrible fire is today. And Jeff's book is so thick about Trinity Limerick Church, and I kind of looked at it, felt daunted by it, and then dug into it, and it's completely fascinating. I mean, every page of it. And it's not something you're really going to read from beginning to end, which is a nice gift that Jeff gave us as a historian. It's not a narrative. It's in little short chunks, and it's, I say in the article, it's like the Associated Press style book. You can pick it up and open it to a random page, and you'll find something interesting. And Jeff masterfully takes all this diverse information and continually brings it back to the history of Salisbury and sort of does that funnel approach where he says, like, you know, the war in Vietnam is going on, but then he says, here's why it's relevant to what happened with the development of the church. So highly recommended. You don't need to be a particular Trinity Church fan or a resident of Lime Rock or even a resident of Salisbury. It's a fascinating book.
Now, you've got a nice story about tort law, because we've got a local author who's done two funny books on tort law. But then we've got the real deal, which is Ralph Nader's Tort Law Museum.
You know, I wouldn't have thought that tort law was so interesting, but once you read Tom Morrison's books and his little summaries of them. But also, when you, like, you can actually visit the Tort Law Museum online. And you wonder, like, what is tort law? And it's pretty much like everything that you read about in the paper that's interesting. Unless it's criminal law, it's probably going to be tort law. And sounds so boring, but really interesting. And they've presented it in a really sort of very accessible way at the Tort Law Museum in Winsted, which, of course, Ralph Nader, a resident of, you know, a native of Winsted. And, you know, whatever people might think of his presidential run, he's been a great supporter of our newspaper and has always been a friend to us. And so we're very excited that the Tort Law Museum is reopening after COVID, and they're going to have a 3-day opening weekend. We have the dates in there.
I never understood why people got on Ralph Nader, because he's such an intellectual, but not a stuffy intellectual. And he talks to you no matter what. He's done so many different interviews with us. He's, you know, it doesn't matter what his politics are, that he ran for president. He's one of the real highlights around here.
Well, and he loves Winsted, his hometown. Yep. He definitely is still very involved and does whatever, he and his family do whatever they can to support that town.
All right, let's go to the Reinstitute, the reopening.
That's right, the reopening, and also a lovely retrospective of the lovely work of Henry Klimowitz. If you've never seen it, I'm not even sure that photo completely captures it, but it's very organic, and it's very joyful in its funny way. It's brown, and it's made of cardboard, but just looking at it just brings your heart up. So if you've never seen it, they're opening up for the season on April 1st. There's always a potluck dinner. Henry's a fabulous cook, and he'll always make some interesting main course, and then a million people bring salads, and of course, many of the people that come will be farmers or, you know, really good chefs from the area. So it's a great meal, but also a great chance to see his work and to celebrate Henry's 60th birthday, which he missed because of COVID. And then, of course, we have many, many fans of Rafael Nadal around here, and we're very excited to see that the Rafa Nadal Tennis Academy is coming to the Hotchkiss School this summer. There's a lot of tennis players around here, many at a very high level. And we, of course, immediately asked, is Rafa going to come? And they said no, but still will be... coaches trained in the style. Many of them will be coming from Spain. So
he could have stayed at Yvonne Lindell's old house.
I know, that's right. He should be staying there because it's got the tennis courts. Been for sale for quite a while.
Yeah. All right, and Crescendo is back with their concerts.
Crescendo is coming back. They're always busy. And again, Christine Gebert, another Lime Rock resident. And so they're doing concerts April 8th and 9th. And as always, there will be one at Trinity Church on Friday. The next day will be April 9th. And Christine is very... she's very interesting and complex, and so she's put together a program of work that's, you know, by Bach and Telemann and, you know, people that you sort of have heard, but the concept of it is kind of folk Baroque and an interesting way to put it all together that might make you hear the music differently.
Well, that's just a sum of what you'll find in this week's Lakeville Journal. Of course, you can find the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News at tricornernews.com. You can subscribe to that, and you can see the editions right there on the website, or the old-fashioned way, get it delivered to your house or pick it up at your newsstand. So, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is this week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, you can find them online, tricornernews.com, at your newsstands and at home delivery, and at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on this week in the Lakeville Journal.